Now, you have your Bibles. We want to turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 15, the portion that we read together. The book of Numbers and chapter 15. We want to speak about this man that is talked about in verse 32 to verse 36, the gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And we want to look at this because we have a message for this, of course, in the Bible. There really is a Sabbath breaker brought before us here in this passage. So let's look to the Lord and we pray for his help and blessing to my Father in heaven. We pray that thou wouldst still us in thy presence. We pray for, Lord, thy Spirit be given to all of us in this place. Especially for myself as I would proclaim this word. Lord, we need thy help, thy wisdom, and thy power. And we pray that I will be able to say the Lord has helped me tonight to minister the gospel of Christ. We thank thee for the message of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone which believeth. And we pray, Lord, tonight that thou wilt speak even to those who are outside of Christ. We're glad there's life. Lord, not in the world, not in sin, but we've been singing there's life in the risen Lord. Let the unsafe come tonight and find that life, eternal life, that abundant life that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things and ask them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Gathering sticks here on the Sabbath day. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Church of Rome, he says about sin in chapter 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man's sin entered into the world." And he talks here about sin entering into this world. And we have learnt the lesson, of course, from the Bible, that sin was brought into this world by the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And there is no argument about this truth that comes from the Bible, and I'm certainly true tonight that there's no one who would question the doctrine or the truth of the Bible that sin has come into this world. Sin entered into the world. One preacher said people used to argue whether the world was square or flat or whether it is round. But the Bible says it is crooked. Why is that so? Why is it the creation of God has been spoiled? Why is there wickedness in this world? Well, the Bible is very clear in this matter. Sin has entered into the world. And no matter where we look in the world tonight, no matter to whom we look at, you'll always find sin rising its ugly head. Think of all the places in the Bible. You look at the throne of Israel. You think of David, the man of God, the man who loved God with all of his heart. And yet when you look at David upon the throne here in Israel, you'll find that he's not alone. Because what do you find? You'll find the sinners entered in. Even the David, the man of God, man after God's own heart, the throne of Israel, which he sat upon, a man of God, a man of authority, a man of great power. And what do you find? You'll find sin has entered in beside him. He fell deeply into sin. Sin even affected the very life of David. It entered into the throne, even of Israel. You will find, even you look at the tabernacle of the Lord, and that was put up, of course, for the glory of God. The sacrifices were to be offered unto the Lord, and the priests were to serve the Lord with all of their heart and minister unto the Lord. But you'll find that even sin had entered into the tabernacle, this holy of holy places, a holy place where God was to be honored and sacrificed and praised and served and loved. And when you look at the very tabernacle, you'll find this, sin had entered in. Think out even the days of Eli, his sons. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 12, it says, the sons of Eli were sons of Anel, and they knew not the Lord. And you can go on down that passage, and you'll find that sin has entered in to the very lives of those men, and into the tabernacle of the Lord. And every place you look in the scriptures, you'll find the simple lesson that sin has entered in. Even the days of Christ, when he went into the temple, now they take those wicked, sinful men and cast them out of the temple. And he says to them, you have made my father's house a den of thieves. And he cast them out of the temple. And why is this? Sin has entered in. Sin has entered in different places. And so when we come to this passage here, we find the children of Israel in the wilderness, and we find something else, that sin has entered in again, even in the wilderness. Even in the wilderness journeys of the children of Israel, we find that sin arises again and again. And the lesson is very clear for all of us tonight. It doesn't matter where you are, wherever you have people, you'll always find sin. There's no escaping sin in this world. No matter where you are, or to what people, where you find people, you'll find sin. In Galatians 1 and the verse 4, the Apostle Paul, writing to that church, he described the world, this present evil world. That's a good description of the world. No matter where you are in this world, you'll find it as evil, you'll find it as wicked, and you'll find it as simple. And the Apostle Paul summed it up, this present evil world, sin has entered into the world. When the day comes, the Lord will take sin out of it, and we're glad that day is coming. They come down to put down all sin, and sinners will be put out, and sin will be taken out of this world by our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. But sin has entered in. And here we find Moses and the children of Israel at this moment in the wilderness, and yet they are confronted with a man that sinned against the Lord. His name is not mentioned, just said they found a man. But his sin is mentioned. It says they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And yet out here in the wilderness, now Moses and the children of Israel, making their journey towards the promised land, they come across a great problem. There's a problem of sin. Sin always causes problems. If you're all converted here tonight, I wonder, has sin caused problems in your life? Sin will always cause problems. And here among the children of Israel, sin had entered in, and there's problems. The man is gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And look at this passage. There are different lessons that we can learn here about this man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Lessons that we should put to our heart. Lessons to learn about sin. And the first thing I want to say we can see here from the passage about this man is that sin will find you out. If you look at the text, it reveals to us why the children of Israel were in the wilderness. It says here, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. And notice, they found a man. They came across this man out in the wilderness. And what was this man doing? Well, it tells us what he was doing. They found a man who was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. His sin found him out. Notice the word found. If you follow that word throughout the Bible, you'll find in Exodus 22 verse 6, it is translated the word catch. For instance, it says that the fire breaks out and catch in thorns. That's the same Hebrew word as found. So they caught him. He's really, in a sense, he was caught doing this sin out in the Sabbath. He had not planned it, of course he had not. He was out, he was away from the people, and he was gathering sticks here on the Sabbath day. And you know something, this? He was caught. He was caught. His sin had found him out. He was found, or we can say, he was caught. Sin found him out here in the wilderness. Despite the district, his sin found him out. He was away out in the wilderness, and here they were in the wilderness of Paran. A barren, a dry, a lonely place, and yet out in this place in the wilderness, he was caught out. He was caught out in this place. It was not in any city. He was not in some great city like Jerusalem later on, or so on. Or not some town or any place like this. It was certainly not in the tabernacle. A lot of religious activity going around the tabernacle, going and fro from the people. But you know where he was? He was in the wilderness. And there it was, it tells us here, this man's sin, he was found out there in the wilderness, despite the district. And despite the day, his sin was found him out as well. It was a Sabbath day he was caught. The Sabbath day. Now, the children of Israel would, no doubt, have spent this day, as they had been taught, worshipping God. Personal devotions. or in the public ministry that took place among the people in that particular day. And when the people would have been taken up with religious exercises and their personal worship and love to God and devotion to God. And here on this particular day, the Sabbath day, this man was caught getting sticks on the Sabbath day. Perhaps he thought he'd get away with it. Perhaps he thought nobody will see me out here. They'll be busy. They'll be busy in their devotions. They'll be busy in their worship. They'll be busy in the public ministration of the sacrifices, whatever the case may be. But despite the day, he was caught out. And despite his dissolution as well, because notice here, it says, they found a man. In other words, he was all alone. He was alone, you see. There's no record here in the Bible that anybody else was with this man at all. He's away on his own. He's actually, in a sense, he's sitting alone against the Lord. And yet suddenly, what did he find? He was caught. They found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. He was all alone. But I want you to learn the lesson. He was caught. His sin had found him out. He was found, as I said, the Hebrew word can mean catch. He was caught. Do you know, sin will find you out. That is a teaching of the Bible. That's a teaching that Moses said in Numbers 32, verse 23, and be sure your sin will find you out. That's the message he brought to these tribes who were saying to Moses, we don't want to go over and take over the land at the moment. We want to stay here. Well, he says, if you don't do what you said you're going to do, be sure of this, your sin will find you out. And we only have to read the Bible and we'll find that this lesson is brought time and time and time again in the Bible. Be sure your sin will find you out. Found this man out. They found a man getting sticks on the Sabbath day. And you remember Cain, when there's nobody else there in the field, only Abel, his brother, and he slew him. Nobody else, there was no other witnesses, only God. In Genesis 4 and verse 9 and 10, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, what has I done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. God said, I have seen it. And remember this, he was away alone. There was nobody else there, only Abel. But a sinner found him out. And you can go again to Achan in Joshua chapter 7. A great victory. Joshua and his men had in defeating the city of Jericho. It was brought right crashing down to the ground. And they destroyed the people. And they destroyed the city. But we find something else. That sin destroyed a man called Achan. He took of the accursed thing. And you see the man stealing this. You certainly see him hiding. He took it home to his tent. And he hid it in his tent. But you know what happened to Achan? His sin found him out. In verse 22, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran onto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. But notice the words, they went to the tent of this man, and they searched the tent, and there it was all hid in his tent. But let me tell you this, his sin found him out, he was found out. And that's the lesson about sin we find here in this man in the wilderness. Be sure your sin will find you out. There was a man found. And I want to say to you, unsaved person tonight, your sin will find you out. Even your secret sins one day will come up before the Lord. You cannot sin and get away with it. I want to say that, and even to all the young people tonight, remember the lesson, that keep away from sin. You cannot sin and get away with it. It will cause trouble and all into your life. You will be found out. Secret sins, sins that are committed alone, the Lord one day will bring them all up before you. And so the lesson is very clear here about this man who's gathering sticks in the wilderness. Your sin will find you out. It says, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. is sin had found them out. That's the first lesson from this text. Lay it upon your heart tonight on, see a person. Your sin one day will find you out. And the second thing we want to notice about sin here, that sin is a very serious thing. Now, I do agree, a casual reading of these words would seem to suggest that the man was probably doing no harm. After all, he's on his own. He's not out stealing anybody's possessions. He's not blaspheming the name of the Lord. He's not rolling about in a drunken stupor. He is not putting anyone to death. No, he just is out in the wilderness and he is gathering sticks. And some people would say he's doing no harm. He's doing no harm. And at first glance, it would seem to be a very harmless thing he was doing. He was only gathering sticks. But how wrong you would be. Sin is a very serious thing against God. It's a very wicked thing that he was doing. He was breaking the law of the Lord. As it says here in our text, he was gathering the sticks upon the Sabbath day. So it was a very serious thing he was doing. He would have learnt the word of God. He would have learnt the commandments of the Lord that he was not to do such thing. In Exodus 20, it tells us in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now here was the law of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This day is to be kept for God. You're not to work on this day. You're not to defile the Sabbath day. But here's a man, instead of observing God's holy day, he was sinning against the Lord. Instead of laying a hold upon the Savior, he was laying his hand upon sticks. He was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And that was a serious sin. Sin is a very serious thing. In Exodus 5 and verse 7, it talks about the children of Israel, the time they were down in Egypt. And it says they were to give the people no more straw to make brick, but let them go and gather straw for themselves. That word gather is the same word as this man. So there's a bit of work, a bit of pulling, a bit of searching involved in gathering these sticks. You see them going out and doing this. Well, this man was doing the same. He was out and he was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. He was breaking God's holy day. And sin is a serious thing. And everyone knows today, remember, the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. Now it doesn't mean that some people can't work on the Sabbath day. Myself and other ones who serve the Lord, we work on the Sabbath day. Works of piety are allowed on the Sabbath days. In Matthew 12 and verse 5, the Lord Jesus says, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? The priests all worked on the Sabbath, the Lord says. And they were not breaking this commandment. And when ministers go out to preach and masonries and Sunday school teachers and all of these things, when we do these things on the Sabbath day, it's okay. Works of piety is allowed. Works of necessity are allowed on the Sabbath day. In Luke 14, verse 5, the Lord Jesus said, which of you shall have an ass or an oxen fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? If you see an ass or an oxen fall into a pit, what do you do? He said, well, I'm sorry, but I can't help you till tomorrow. That would not be the case. They would get their neighbours, their friends, whatever it may be, and they would go to that pit and they would do all they could to rescue that ass or to that ox from the pit. That's a works of necessity. There's firemen today. And there's policemen working today. And ambulance men working today, works of necessity has to be done. Works of mercy certainly are allowed to be done on the Sabbath day. In Mark 3, verse 4, the Lord Jesus said, "It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill." But they held their peace, you see. He was going to heal this man with a withered hand, and he was showing them that works of mercy are allowed. And that's why we say today that nurses and doctors who do works of mercy, they're allowed to work on the Sabbath day. But it was not the case with this man. Here's a deliberate breaking of the Sabbath day. What was he doing? He was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And that teaches us a lesson that sin is a very serious thing. Some people would suggest, as I have said, he's probably doing no harm. But sin is serious. Why is that? It's against the God of heaven. Some people have the notion that their sin is just a little sin. No significance at all. It's just, what do people say? It's just a little white lie. Maybe only a little swear word. A little glance of lust. A little anger in the heart. The people today in their problems will run to the shop on the Lord's day and it says, "I'm doing no harm. Doing no harm at all. Just on getting a few groceries." This man was only getting a few sticks. And he sinned greatly against the Lord. And there are people that put on their TVs and all and watch things all day on the Sabbath day. And it says, "It's only a little thing. It's only a little thing." And I don't want anybody to be fooled about these things, because remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, has never changed. Still the same to this day and age. Remember this holy day unto the Lord. We're not to break this day. This day is God's day. And here's a man and he's out and he's gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. But it's very serious. And I say to you, if you're doing things on the Sabbath day, and to myself, I preach to myself, we had to be very careful. What you do on the Sabbath day, sin is against the Lord. It can be easily be committed against the Lord. You see. And we're all guilty of breaking this law. In our words, our thoughts, and our actions. Every one of us has profaned the Sabbath day in some way or another in our lives. But this shows us how easily we can sin against the Lord. And it shows you, unsaved person in this meeting tonight, how great is your sin against the Lord. Not even to do with the Sabbath day, with other things. Here's a man, one sin was named against him. He had gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. It was a serious thing. But you think of your life, you think of your words, you think of your actions, you think of your sins, and they're far greater. They're far greater. Sin is a very serious thing. He was just gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, but he broke the law of God. And that's what your sin is, a transgression against the law of the Lord. Sin is a very serious thing. I said that he was unsaved tonight in the speaking. Your sin is evil and great in the sight of God. Terrible thing to sin against the God of heaven. And yet we all have sinned against the God of heaven. We all have broken his laws. And so we find that lesson, sin, a very serious thing. And also in our lesson, with this man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day, we find that sin puts a man into captivity. Because look what happened to this man. They find a man gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. Verse 34. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. Verse 33 tells us, and they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation, and they put him in ward. And what do we find there? Here's what happened to this man. He was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, and we find this, he was put into prison. Put into bondage. In a sense, he was arrested. here by the people, the congregation, really a home arrest. They found him doing this, and they laid hold of this man, and he was arrested, and we find he was put here into this ward, and we find that this man, he's alone, there he is, closed up. Could you think about him being closed up? Could you think about him, the thoughts that's going through his mind? A foolish man, I was out this holy day for the Lord, I was gathering sticks. But I want you to think where he is. He's closed up, he's locked up, and find out that he's alone. He's being assessed because they want to know the mind of the Lord, because it was not declared what should be done unto him. But we find here very, very simply, his sin had got him into trouble. He was free beforehand. He was living before the people beforehand. But now where is he? We find here that sin had put him into ward, and he's into bondage, and he's into prison. Sin puts a man into captivity. There it is. And that's what sin has done to all mankind today. Man who's without Christ, or even ladies, is in the prison house of sin. And the Bible says in Proverbs 5 and the verse 22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. These are words of the wise man Solomon in Proverbs. He's holding. What is holding? What is binding him? What is tying him up in a sense? Well, it tells us it's his cords of his sin. Sin has put a man into bondage. And all around us today, we find many people, and they're prisoners to their own sin. There's maybe drink. There's maybe drugs, immorality. But sin has put them into the prison house of sin. That's what it did with this man out in the wilderness. Born slaves to sin and to the devil. And I say to you tonight, unsaved person in this meeting, is that describing you? Are you tied to sin tonight? Do you say, Noel, I would love to break free from my sin? I have terrible sins in my life, and I have tried to break free. Let me promise my parents I'll break free, my loved ones, whatever the case may be. I want to break free from my sin. I want to be done of these evil things in my life. And I've tried and I've tried, but I can't break free. Why is that? Because sin's put you into captivity. And like this man who's closed up in the wilderness, he could not break free himself. You cannot break free yourself in your own power, in your own will. Not a flesh or the will of man. You've lost your liberty. I'll tell you, this unsaved person outside of Christ, are you like this man in the passage? You're alone. Do you feel lonely in your life? And the amazing thing about the unsaved life, you can be surrounded with many, many people in the clubs and the pubs and all of these things, but there's this loneliness that's in your heart. It's amazing. Like, how can it be? How can it be? Someone can be surrounded with so many other people, and yet there's this emptiness and this loneliness within their heart. The reason's very clear. Without Christ, sin has put you into a prison. And you're alone, you see. You're closed out from the Lord. That's an awful place to be. Here's a man, and sin has put him into great trouble. He's locked up under lock and key. He's being guarded. He gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. He's in great trouble. I want to say to you unsaved tonight, your sin has put you into trouble with God, with the Lord. This man is waiting on his case being heard. One day your case will be heard. Don't be fooled about these matters. Sin is a serious thing, as I have said, against the Lord. You're in great trouble. You're locked up in a sense. You're being assessed. Here's a man who's waiting on the judgment of God falling upon him. And unsaved, that's exactly where you are tonight. That's where you are tonight. About your sins. And you think about them. Don't think they're nothing too serious. Think of this man. Think about his life. Think about his sin. Gathering sticks on the Sabbath day was a terrible thing. Your sin, I have no doubt, and my sin was 10 times worse than this man. You're in great trouble. You're in great trouble, unsaved person, tonight. Sin puts a man into captivity. And can I say here that sin brought forth death? If you look at the sentence that came to this man, and you know, it's a divine sentence. The Lord said unto Moses, here's God speaking. Not Moses or any of the prophets, but here's the God of heaven speaking, verse 35. The man shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall stone him with stones. Without the camp, there's a sentence upon this man. But who gave the sentence? God of heaven gave the sentence. The Lord said, this man, the man shall surely be put to death. The sentence is from the very court of heaven. He has to die for his sin. Now, that's what the Bible said. And that's what it says in the book of Exodus, and chapter 31, verse 14 and 15. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto the Lord. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among the people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. That's what God said. And we find here this man, the sentence was placed upon him. God says, he shall die. He shall die for his sin. And there was a sentence. And then there was a stoning, because it tells us how it was to be done. Shall stone him with stones, that he died. Now, John Gill is a tremendous writer. And he really brings in the history of the Jews. And I recommend his commentaries to anybody. And he's quoting really from history. He actually would tell us how this was done. He talked about the place of stoning was 2 men's heights. And he went up with his hands bound up onto the hill and talks about one person trusting upon the loins that he would fall down. And then he tells him how they lifted up a stone where it was by the weight of 2 men and they casted this stone upon him. And then all at once, if he died not with that, he was stoned by all Israel. But that is just a quote from history. But let me tell you this. He was stoned to death for sin. Gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, God says he shall die. And it says at the end of verse 36, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. They took him out and they fired him down on the ground and they lifted stones up and they fired him down upon this man. And there he died. Why did he die? He gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. He gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. But you know he died. He died. No unsaved person can I say to you, you will surely die because of your sin. The wages of sin is death. You will die when the Lord brings you forth to punish you for your sins. We do know, of course, about hell, that place of everlasting punishment, where those who die in their sins and die without Christ, God will take them and they'll be cast out of his presence into hell for all eternity. And you'll die and you'll be punished for your sins. That's why you need a Savior. You're going to die for your sins. John Bunyan said, one leak will sink a ship and one sin will destroy a sinner. Have you any more sins than breaking the Sabbath day? Have you, unsaved person? You're in great trouble. Here's a man, he broke the Sabbath day. He's in great trouble. He's stoned to death. Your sin is far greater. Far worse. The wrath of God is above your head even tonight. It's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of the living God. Sin will bring forth death. Are your sins worth it? The pleasures of the world, the pleasures of sin, is it worth it to be taken at the last and cast out of God's presence, away from Christ, and everlasting burnings? Tell me, is your sin worth it? You have a foolish man or woman to say it was. Sin brings forth death. He shall surely be put to death. And that's a sentence upon you tonight, unsaved person in this meeting. The sentence of death is placed upon you because you've sinned. Then what do you need? You need a Savior. You need one who can save you and take away your sin and take away your the guilt of sin. Take away the punishment of your sin tonight. And I'm glad there is one can do that. And I say to you as we're singing, weeping shall not save you. Working will not save you. But faith in Christ will save you. Christ is a Savior. And He took our place upon the cross. And He died that we might be saved and have everlasting life. And I say to you tonight, on saved in this meeting, Christ can save you from death. He can save you from a lost eternity. He can give you everlasting life. He can do that tonight. Christ can save you. And you need to be saved. Before the Lord brings you out of your prison house of sin, and you're standing before Him, and you're lost for all eternity, you need a Savior. And the Lord Jesus will save you. There's power in His blood to cleanse away your sin. All you need Him to be your Savior tonight. Sin will bring forth death. As one has said, God will forgive the sinner, but He will still judge the sin. And that is true, you know. There's not a sin committed in this world that God doesn't judge. Not one sin has ever been committed that God will not judge. It'll either be judged upon the sinner or upon Christ. Not one sin will go unnoticed by God. Sin must be punished. And that's where Christ came into it. He was punished for our sin. He died on our place. Dear sinner tonight in this meeting, He died for us that you might be saved. And while there was no hope for this man, he was taken out and stoned to death. There's hope for you tonight. There's mercy for the unsaved man or woman, boy and girl tonight, who'll come as a sinner to Christ. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He will give you everlasting life. But to come and trust him. To come and be saved, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. He will save you tonight. Think of this man. Remember this man in the Bible. All he did, he gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. There he is. Go on, say it if I say it. Look at your heart tonight. Look at your life tonight. Look at your sin before Holy God. What hope have you got in yourself? You have no hope. You need Christ to be your Savior. He can save you. He will forgive you. And take away all your sin. Even if you've broken the Sabbath day, there's power in the blood of Christ that cleanses away your sin. Come to Him. Repent from your sin. And He'll save you. And He'll forgive you tonight. Oh, come to Him. I would urge you with all my heart, if I can help you, stay behind and speak with us. Don't go home without Christ. Don't go home with a sentence of death hanging over you unsaved tonight. Come and trust Him. Come and be saved, and He will save you. May the Lord write His word upon all of our hearts. Amen. We're going to close just in a wee word of prayer. I pray for the Lord's help. Father in heaven, we thank you for your help and the message in the Bible, the warning about sin. And we pray that, Lord, Thou will write these words upon the hearts of everyone. We pray for the unsaved that Thou will speak to them. May they see himself a bit like this man in great trouble, in captivity with a sentence of death upon their head. But may they see there's mercy with the Lord if they repent from their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, thank you for the time we've had today in Thy house. Bless the remainder of this Sabbath day to all our hearts. And be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name.